to listen to God's word this morning. Shall we open our Bible in the book of Colossians chapter 3? Our focal passage this morning, Colossians chapter 3, that is verses 18 to 21. I'll just read again this verses just to reset our minds, our heart to the message of God's word. Colossians 3:18-21 says, "Wives, submit your own husbands as it fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Let us pray. Today, O Lord, we are going to commit to you our time together studying your word. And so as we open your word, the Bible, God's holy book, it is a prayer that we, husbands, we, dads, be challenged by your word. And wives as well, and children, to conduct themselves accordingly within the band of the family. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of a family in the form of wives, in the form of fathers, in the form of children, in the form of husbands. Help us, Lord, to cherish each other as we live, as we await for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to perform our own respective role, functions, and responsibility in the family, because you design it this way. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, usually the theme of this month is about evangelism. But since we have a special occasion that will be going on tomorrow, that is, we have the National Day of Celebration of Family Day. So it is my privilege and my honor to discuss or to preach to you about family matters, about family matters, and that based on the text that we read or we heard a while ago. Not just that because of the family day tomorrow, I was encouraged to do so, but because also I was thinking that the family is a place where God can be glorified and magnified and honored. And also, I was encouraged to study or to preach this because I want to preserve the traditional definition of the family. Because I observed in this society the disintegration or the breakdown of the concept of family and family itself. And I want this to, you know, to be an encouragement to all of us to preserve our family. And also, I came to this situation where I came face to face to a person who has this pain, suffering, and agony experienced by the family members because of the effect of the family breakdown and disintegration or separation. I cannot take that members of the family will suffer or experience agony. And so to preserve this, to avoid this pain and suffering, it is my aim that each members of the family will be encouraged to cooperate so that there will be harmony within the family, and thereby God will be glorified. And secondly, my aim is that for those who have not a family yet, for those who are planning to have a family in the future, that they will be encouraged to follow the biblical way of establishing a family. That they will be encouraged to follow the principle of establishing a family. And so, all of us desire to experience harmony, aren't we, in the family? All of us desire to have this unity in the family, the joy, the happiness within the family. And so, Apostle Paul gave us God's design rule or functions or responsibility for each members of the family. And so number one is that for the wives, for the husbands, number two, for the children, number three, and for the fathers, husband who have children, then this for you too. Now, so let us go direct to verse 18 that says, wives, submit your own husbands, as it is fitting in the Lord. Now, I would like to establish, first of all, that this message, that this directive is addressed to the wife herself, to the wives, because it says there, wives, wives. And secondly, we notice the instruction. And what is the instruction for the wife? Is that she has to submit. And that is the specific directive from God Himself. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Not to the husbands of others, but your own husbands. The passage did not say, you know, husbands, submit to your wife. But rather, wives, submit to your own husbands. There are a few passages that supports this teaching, this idea. For example, here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, if you are going to open our Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. If you open again in the other passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it also says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. If you want more, in Titus 2, 5, it says, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands. Obedient to their husbands. Now, the word submit here, in the understanding of the world, You know, I noticed that it gives negative connotation. It gives negative meaning. The word or the world thought that a person who submits is weakling, is weak. The person who submits, the understood it as that person is losing control in the family. That is why maybe in the society, there is this movement that's called liberation. They ask freedom. They ask equality. Just as like, they want to be like men. Now the word submit here is beautiful when you put this in the context of, or in the biblical context. Because according to the Bible, the dictionary Bible, the word submit means to subject oneself. Another one, to place oneself in submission. And number three is that to arrange oneself into proper order. This is the arrangement of God's design of a family that a wife should submit to husband. I said, not because she is weak, not because she is secondary to the husband, not because she is inferior to the husband. Because the Bible said, you know, we are all equal before God. There is no Jew nor Greek. There is no circumcised or uncircumcised. There is no rich or poor. Why? Because we are all equal before God. We are just different or varying functions and responsibilities to fulfill in the society, at the same time in a family. It so happens that the wife's responsibility as God designed and order is to submit to her husband. Nothing more, nothing less. And more than that, if you're going to study further that verse, it says, wives submit their own husbands as what? As it fitting to the Lord. It's just like a vessel. It is fitting to the Lord. Also, if you open to the text here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 24, affirm this truth that wife should submit to her husband because it is fitting to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church." 24, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." It is just fitting unto the design of God that wives should submit to their husbands. Just as the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and so the head of the family is the father or the husband. And so when a wife submits, she need not to worry. Why? Because she is following the order of God based on the Bible. Besides that, This is the promise of God to you, wives. That in verse 19, it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. That when the wife submits to the husband should love the wife. Because it says here, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Now, I would like to explain a little bit further. In this passage, it is very clear that the instruction to love is singled out only for the husband. It has been a general idea and assumption that when a couple got into the marriage life, they love each other, isn't it? But here in this passage, the instruction is directed to the husband. Now, to understand this specific instruction, I would like to invite you to bring your mind back way to the history of the writings of this passage in the year 60 to 62 AD, and that is during the time of the Roman Empire. Just to zero in the significance of Paul's instruction to husband to love his wife, let us discover how women or wife were treated or valued at that time, during the time of the Greek Empire, during the time of Roman Empire. Now, according to William Barclay, one of the respected theologians and commentators, he stated in his book, and he recorded, he said, under the Jewish law, a woman was a thing. Now, it is not a good word. Mentioning a woman is not a thing. Or a woman was a thing. The possession of her husband. That's how they treated woman in the past. Just as much as his house or his flocks or his material goods. She had no legal rights whatever. For instance, under the Jewish law, a husband could divorce his wife for any cause, for any reason, while a wife had no rights at all in the initiation of the divorce. Now, if you look at the Greek society, he said, respectable woman lived a life of entire seclusion. Especially if that woman was a slave and the daughter of the slave. She never appeared on the streets alone, not even to go to shopping, not even to go to the mall. She lived in a woman's apartment and did not join the men, even for meals. Complete servitude and chastity were demanded of her, but her husband could go out as much as he chose and could enter into as many relationships outside marriage as he liked without incurring any social criticism. That's fine, he said. And so under both Jewish and Greek laws and custom, all the privileges belong to the husband and all the duties to the wife. End of quote. Now, in Jewish and Greek culture, the woman had little to no rights. She was a piece of property meant to serve only for husband. This is how they treat woman in the past. And behold, Apostle Paul declared that husband should treat his wife lovingly. Don't treat him as a possession or material or a thing, but value her. Of course, this kind of teaching is a radical teaching against the norm of the society at the time. You know, I realize that only Christianity gives the high value to a woman. Because Jesus Christ teaches this here in this passage. In some other religion, even right now, woman is just staying there in the house. They're not allowed to go out. If they go out, then they should cover their whole faces, their whole body. They're not allowed to show their hands. If they disobey, well, some people, they say, we are allowed to kill you just to preserve the teaching. And that's what we called honor killing. That's, we are allowed to kill you just to preserve our tradition. There's a question about it. The Apostle Paul encouraged a husband to love his wife. But how, the question is that, how do we love our wives? Remember, you see here, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, how our love to our husband, or to our wife should look like. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. And what next? And gave himself up. In Ephesians 5:33, also says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Now here in our text, in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Now, I would like us to note that the love Paul talked about here is not a mystical love, or shall we say, romantic love. That when you see a lady, you will say, I will love you forever. And then the next day, he's gone. Or you may say, how beautiful is your appearances? How beautiful is your face? How flawless is your hair? What an adornment. But then the next day, he said that to other lady too. Apostle Paul doesn't talk about this kind of love here. But how do husbands, how do we love our wives? Well, number one, Colossians 3:19, at the end of that verse, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. And so, may I say to you, to me also, that husband should treat his wife gently. The husband should treat his wife gently. I am saddened that many wives are battered. They are treated harshly. They are beaten by their cruel and unkind and unsympathetic husbands. And I, me, myself, a husband, I am ashamed. I am ashamed. Many years ago, when I was in high school back then in the Philippines, you know, sometimes my dad would come home, smell what? When you're drunk, you will really know that this person is drunk because of the smell. Smell like here, Canadian smell is, but Philippine smell is chico. So my dad would come home with that smell, and he was drunk. And soon, disagreement developed between him and my mom. And so later on, you will hear usually the yelling, usually the wailing, the banging of the walls, boog, the slamming of the door. There's no food. Why? And he would throw the pot. He would throw the plates. He would throw whatever. This is usually the happenings after the work and toward the night. There's always this drinking session of the colleagues after work. And sometimes family suffers because of that typical or cynical happenings in the family. You know, experiencing this, I was thinking, this is not a home I would dream of. This is not a home. The home that I dream. I'd rather go outside and stay with Christopher and learn piano. I'd rather to stay outside to stay with my friends, observing the situation. But you know, many wives suffer abuse by the hands of their husbands. They are not gentle. They are not gentle, but harsh. Here in Canada, where houses are so private and so close, you don't hear what's going on inside the house. You don't know, because sometimes the house is soundproof. But you will just hear news, the 680 news or CTV news, but in your neighbor there was beatings. But we Christians, husbands, were given the instruction to be gentle, to be kind, to be considerate to our wives as the evidence of our love. Now, while I was making this point, my wife called. And she said, and she was here practicing the choir. And she said, can you pick me up, please? And I was at the time I was in my final review of my message. And, you know, it says my message, husband, be gentle to your, or treat your wife gently. Do not harsh, or do not be bitter unto her. So, ito nga, no? So what can we do? What can I do? Should I neglect her or pick her up? Anyway, I have a valid reason. I am reviewing my final message for today. But you know what? The love supersedes practicality. I came here to pick her up. Even though I know there's at the time 5:30, part of the 6 is traffic going inside the downtown, but I went here to show my love and care, my gentleness to my wife. Now, secondly, not just we should, as an evidence of our love to our wives, we should treat our wives gently, but also husband should serve his wife sacrificially. Husband should serve his wife sacrificially. How about that, wives? Do you agree? Husband should serve his wife sacrificially. I didn't hear amen. Amen. Because in Ephesians 5:25 still, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And as an evidence of this, of his love toward the church, what did he do? And gave himself for her, for the church. For the church. As Jesus gave his life for the church, so husband will be willing to give his life for his wife too. He must be true to his promise, till death do us part, as it is fitting to the Lord. Now, there was once a couple, they were praying for so many years that God will give them a child. But as the years go by, they were not able to have one. You know, he said to his wife, the husband said to his wife, he said, even God did not or will not give us a child, he said, I will remain faithful to you. I will remain faithful to you. I will not find any other woman. I will be truthful to my promise. Tell death do us part. From time to time, I came across the story here in Canada that they're praying for the baby, and for many years they had not have it, and then later on the wife got sick and caused her she cannot bear a child anymore. One, she doesn't have child. Two, she's sick. She has an illness. And three, her husband left her. What a sad story. What a sad story. The question for all of us here, husbands, are you willing to sacrifice for your wife? Are you willing to sacrifice for your wife as an evidence of your love for her? Now, why, if you husband sitting there beside you is your wife, and wife, you know, along the way there, when you go home, you may ask that, are you willing to sacrifice your life for me? I am so sad that many husbands left their wives because the pasture on the other side is always green, he said. There are so many husbands who abused, beaten, and abandoned their wives because they are no longer attractive as before. Now, young people, we should look at women not according to their figure. Not according to their figure. Or we should not look at our wife according to the figure. Or we said the vital statistics. You may deny it, but it is true that some people, they're not going to be like that as before. But if you look at husband according to, if you husband look at your wife according to the figure, you will be, if you delight yourself in that, you will be in trouble. we should be willing to sacrifice ourselves for our wife. I know a couple at that time that I was in high school, they were old. And still, they were they held each other's hands, walking around the neighborhood. Every day, every morning, the time came that when I passed by them, it's only her. The husband, I cannot see him anymore. I asked her, "Where's your husband?" Well, she said she died already last week. And you know what? After two or three weeks, the lady, the wife also died. I hope not because I asked her, but because they love each other till death do us part. God is looking for a husband who is willing to love his wife, for better, for worse, even offering his life when situation demands it. So are you the one, husband? Are you the one? Young people, you will be the one. 3. Children, obey your parents. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to God. 6:1, Ephesians, cross reference. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this is the third biblical instruction for children to obey their parents. And the basic definition simply of obedience is to follow with a sense of duty and dependence on parents. In the context of family, obedience is just to follow with a sense of duty and dependence on parents. Now, I see too many children or young people challenge and defy to follow the directions and guidance and advice of their parents. I don't know. They see obedience as threat and hindrance to their freedom. They see obedience as suppression and oppression to them. So thereby, they defy parents' instruction and go their own way, like the prodigal son. He said, "I want my own way. I don't want anybody to suggest or to command me. I know what I am doing. Said. One mother opened up to me and share her heartaches. Not in this church, but mom. She said, "Pastor, please pray for me, especially for my son. Because last week, we had this situation. He ripped off his Bible in front of me, and he didn't want to follow our good advice for him. He really, really wanted to follow his own way." As a mother, what would you feel? A son who's saying, "I want my own way. I want my own freedom." So she was crying, sharing to me her bad situation. So we just pray at that time that God will comfort them, or her, in that situation. So young people, when you defy the godly advice of your parents, I believe you defy the guidance or the instructions of God. Because I believe your godly parents are the instruments of God. to give you guidance, to lead you the path of the righteousness. And so the best thing you could do is to obey. Because we will always sing this song, obedience is the very best way to show that you really believe. And how do you show your obedience to the Lord or to your parents? Upon waking up, what do you do? I asked this to young people in the first service. Upon waking up, what do you do? Find or look for your cell phone right away. And then what next? Go shower. And then what next? And then fix yourself. Breakfast. And then go. How about your bed? Go fix your bed. Your mom? Your auntie? Your poya? How about, you know, so with the evidence of your obedience through your mom and dad, how about your clothes? Who tidy up your clothes? You know, when you go home, yes, you're tired maybe, you know, carrying the backpack full of books. You're studying hard there at school. And then when you arrive home, what will you do? What would you do to your jacket or your socks, your shoes? Do you let your mommy tidy it up? I don't know. You know, that little things makes ease to a tired mommy too. How about washing plates? Washing plates. Who among us, young people, wash plates by hands, not the dishwasher. By hand. Even we have this washer, still sometimes we're so lazy to wash it. Some of you are smiling, maybe it's true. How about throwing garbage? Sometimes, when a small way back, we argue who will throw the garbage. And usually the one who is younger or youngest through the garbage. But you know, children, it is our responsibility to follow the instruction of our parents. This may be the small things, but it will help parents. How about, you know, when time to stop playing, what? Playing games, computer games. Neil, that's it. 2 more minutes, mommy. 2 more minutes. Or 5 more. And then later on, 10, 15. And then later. And then time passed. Well, children, we have to follow our parents in the Lord. Lastly, fathers, encourage your children. Because in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged in life. This directive addressed to the husband who has children. Now, the instruction for that is that do not fuel, simply means do not fuel the child to get angry or else they become discouraged. In what ways we husbands fuel our child to anger? You may ask that to your young people. Honestly, personally, you may ask that to your young people, what fuels them to get angry to you or to the family. And I believe what fuels them to get angry is that by not loving their mother. By not loving their mother. You are showing harsh to your wife, forgetting that that's their mother. When the children see that, they may be quiet, but you know what? Put here inside that bitterness inside them as they go by. Husbands fuel their children into anger by not standing by his side when he needed you the most. Fathers, do you have enough time for your children? My wife shared to me that one of the complaints of the young people is the fathers or the mothers, they don't have time with their children, with their family. They go work and work and work. That's good. We have enough money to pay the mortgage, to pay the rent, to have enough food, money to send to the Philippines. But how about me? He said. Where are you, Dad, when I need you the most? Where are you? Where are you, Dad, when my classmate bully me? Where are you, Dad, when my girlfriend left me? Well, sometimes young people doesn't share that thing, but when you, Dad, fathers, open. When you are open to your young people, they will tell you. They will tell you what's happening to his relationship outside the family. Husbands fueling their child to anger by not fulfilling their promises. Young people get angry. They may be quiet, but they may be angry when you are not fulfilling your promises to him. My daughter Erica, we used to bribe, not bribe, you know, but to encourage her to do something. Okay, if we're going to wake tomorrow up early, we're going to buy something for you. We're going to Dollarama. Well, at least just Dollarama, not Toys R Us. Not that expensive. Or if you are going to do this, or if you are going to be good in your class, in your Sunday school, in your study, we are going to buy you a puppy because she likes puppy. But it's not a real puppy because you're not allowed to have a puppy in the apartment. Just a plastic puppy. Oh no! But at least we try to fulfill what we promised to her. We fuel anger to our child by not teaching them what is right. By not teaching them what is right. By not guiding them in the path of righteousness. By not disciplining them. And lastly, we fuel anger to our child by comparing and putting him down. And usually, we parents do this. We fuel anger to a child by comparing him to others. By comparing him to others. Be like your older brother. He has an excellent grade and you are excellent D. Excellent nga, D. And your brother has an excellent A. And you have excellent D. Be like him. They're different. When I was in elementary, my family at that time was not yet that Christian. Especially my mother, she was a devoted RC, a member of Knights of Columbus. She would go to church, you know. Every Sunday, she would attend the Knights of the Columbus. But yet, when she go home, you can hear the word, "You're useless. You don't have use." Those words, it hurts. And so, just to prove that I have no use, I don't do work in the house. I don't have use anyway. I'll just sit there and, you know, watch TV. Just to prove what he's saying. Well, this enough. It's almost one. So, fathers, we encourage our children when our home is filled with love. When our home is filled with care, protection, joy, happiness, harmony, and aroma of godly fathers and mothers. That's why the message of the song that we are about to sing, that's found in hymn number 535, goes this way: "Oh, give us homes with godly fathers and mothers who always place their hope and trust in Him, whose tender patience turmoil never bothers, whose calm and courage trouble cannot dim, a home where it finds joy in serving others, and love still shines, the days be dark and green." Shall we open our hymnal to hymn number 535 for our closing song? Shall we all stand?